Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, family, friends, and foes, and yes, even foes in the family, the standing between the living and the dead prayer, devotional, memorial service, family members all over the world. This is Daniel White III, President of Gospel Light Society International, with the White House daily reading of the Chronological Bible, episode number 239. If you would, where I simply read the Holy Bible in the King James Version each day in chronological order. This unique viewpoint, this unique arrangement allows us to read the whole Bible as a single true story, and to see the unfolding of God's plan in history. Today we are reading Joshua chapter 7. Holy Father God in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your grace, your mercy, and your love. We praise you and we thank you for the words of your Holy Son and our Savior, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so, Lord, we praise you and we thank you for your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, your Holy Spirit, and your Holy Word. And once again, we come before your throne of grace asking you for your help to understand your Holy Word as we read it, and to get everything you want us to have from it. So, Lord, grant us your strength and your energy to pray, to read your Holy Word, to understand your Holy Word. Grant us your unction and your anointing from on high, the power of your Holy Spirit. Speak to our hearts, Lord, even now. Change our lives through your Holy Word. And, Lord, we pray that you would fit us for your use, to teach your Holy Word to others, to strengthen the brethren along the way, and to proclaim your Holy Gospel to a dying and lost world. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, I have the high honor and the distinct privilege and the great pleasure to read in your hearing, thus saith the Lord, the Word of God, the Holy Bible, at Joshua chapter 7. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing, for Achan the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven on the east of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country, And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai. And make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate, even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted, and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide. He and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and shall environ us around, and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? And the Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen, and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were cursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except ye destroy the accursed from among you. Up, sanctify the people, and say, Sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, There is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until ye take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, ye shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof, and the family which the Lord shall take shall come by households, and the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zarhites, and he brought the family of the Zarhites man by man, and Zabdi was taken. And he brought his household man by man, and Achan the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran unto the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua, and unto all of the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day, and all Israel stone him with stones, and burn them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger, wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. Shall we pray? Holy Father God in heaven, thank you for the privilege and the blessing for allowing us to read your holy word with understanding, with the help of your Holy Spirit, and with your speaking to our own hearts from your holy word. Help us now, Lord, to confess our sins, and help us to repent. Help us to understand that we cannot make progress in you and for you with sin in the camp. And Holy Father God, we thank you for this eternal message. And I pray that you will help us to confess our sins and to repent and to get fit and prepared to teach others in a discipleship way and to proclaim and preach your holy gospel so that others may come to know you as Savior. Glorify your holy name. Lift up your holy Son, Jesus Christ, for it is in his name we pray. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, family, friends, and foes, and yes, even foes in the family. The standing between the living and the dead prayer devotional and memorial service family members This is Daniel White, the third president of Gospel Light Society International, with the White House Family Devotional Reading of Charles Haddon Spurgeon's classic book titled Morning and Evening, a great devotional. This is the podcast, and this is episode number 479. The Prince of Preachers, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, chose for our devotional today this scripture passage, Numbers 14:11, and the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me, and how long will it be ere they believe me for all these signs which I have showed among them? Dr. Spurgeon goes on to share in a devotional manner based upon this passage. Strive with all diligence to keep out that monster unbelief. It so dishonors God, it so dishonors Christ, that he will withdraw his visible presence if we insult him by indulging in it. It is true, it is a weed, the seeds of which we can never entirely extract from the soil, but we must aim at its root with zeal and perseverance. Among hateful things, it is the most to be abhorred. Its injurious nature is so venomous that he that exerciseth it, and he upon whom it is exercised, are both hurt thereby. In thy case, O believer, it is most wicked, for the mercies of thy Lord in the past increase thy guilt in doubting him now. When thou doest distrust the Lord Jesus, when thou doest distrust God, he may well cry out, behold, I am pressed unto you as a cart is pressed that is full of sheaves. This is crowning his head with thorns of the sharpest kind. It is very cruel for a well-beloved wife to mistrust a kind and faithful husband. The sin is needless, foolish, and unwarranted. Jesus has never given the slightest ground for suspicion, and it is hard to be doubted by those to whom our conduct is uniformly affectionate and true. Jesus is the Son of the Highest and has unbounded wealth. It is shameful to doubt omnipotence and distrust all sufficiency. The cattle on a thousand hills will suffice for our most hungry feeding, and the granaries of heaven are not likely to be emptied by our eating. If Christ were only a cistern, we might soon exhaust his fullness, but who can drain a fountain? Myriads of spirits have drawn their supplies from him, and not one of them has murmured at the scantiness of his resources. Away, then, with this lying traitor, unbelief, for his only errand is to cut the bonds of communion and make us mourn an absent Savior. Bunyan tells us that unbelief has as many lives as a cat. If so, let us kill one life now and continue the work till the whole nine are gone. All right, Spurgeon. Go ahead. Down with thee, thou traitor, my heart abhors thee. Shall we pray? Holy Father God, once again we praise you and we thank you so much for your holy word. And we thank you, Lord, for your servant. the gifted one, the talented one, given the mother load of unction and anointing from you, Dr. Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He being dead, yet speaketh, what a blessing, even in this day. And Lord, help us to never forget this. And Lord, help us to kill those 9 lives of the cat of unbelief, one by one. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, in keeping with the standing between the living and the dead, prayer devotional and memorial service, in keeping with that spirit, we continue to read what I call the family verses. And on yesterday, by the grace of God, I started reading where we actually are. One of my producers is off base, and so we're going to continue reading that. And that is the section dealing with how we need to prepare ourselves for warfare by putting on the whole armor of God. And if the Lord should tarry his coming and we live, we'll be dealing with another section on tomorrow. That is not the section we have before us today. And we began reading on yesterday, and I think I'll pick it up again for those of you who are not with us, because yes, we read this passage as well in the family verses. This is a part of the family verses as far as I'm concerned, because as I have told you for years, we read this passage for years in our family because God showed me in no uncertain terms there was another negative party in the marriage and in the family, and it was not just my negative wife, it was the negative devil. God showed me very clearly the invisible devil at work. Allow me to tell you a sad story, but a true story. God led me to come off the road. My wife and I started having children, and God led me to come off the road because my wife was not up to the task of taking care of the children by herself. And so I came off the road, but I was going to stay full-time in the ministry, and so I started a church. And the devil, I didn't know in the beginning what was really happening as maybe I should have, but I did know, I knew rather, that the devil existed and he did not care for Christians and people sharing the gospel and preaching the gospel. I knew that, and I had some experience with that, but I never experienced his attacks so heavily until after I got married and I continued in the ministry. And so God began to show me clearly that the devil was against me and our family because we were together serving God and getting the gospel out around the world. Because not only did I start that church, I had already started a publication called The Torch that contained the gospel and all of that good stuff. But I noticed something. My wife, who was supposed to be my helpmeet, I had her, you know, doing things like the programs and stuff like that for the church. And I noticed that in every service, she would have something wrong intentionally in the programs. And so I saw later how that the devil was using her. This is out there. This is far-fetched. I have never heard of this happening with anyone else. I'm sure it has. But for some strange reason, the devil was using her to try to hinder the planning of the church. There's no other way to explain what she did. I would go over the program with her, tell her exactly what to put in it, and every service she would have a hymn number wrong in the program or a scripture passage wrong in the program. Every service. And so I confronted her about it multiple times, and I concluded that the devil had influenced her so that she had some kind of anger or bitterness towards the Lord and towards the work. And it was strange to me because she told me she was saved and a Christian and all of that for years. Before we got married and so forth. In fact, I was her pastor before we got married. I was serving as interim pastor of a church. And quite frankly, it was the strangest thing. She had a Judas spirit towards the Lord's work. She has admitted this later, but she had a Judas spirit towards the Lord's work and intentionally tried to sabotage not only the program and the service, but even her relationship with the women of the church was always strained for some reason. So I know there are other pastors and other preachers who have experienced similar things. But there's no way to explain that other than the devil being behind that. It's one thing to make a mistake. That's fine. But always something regarding the services. And not only that, every time I had to preach, whether it was for a service, and I know our sweet little evangelicals don't like to hear stuff like this, but it happens in your family too if you're truly saved and you're serving God. Every time I had to preach, whether it was at another church or at the church I was starting, she would always do something to try to hinder. It was done demonically, intentionally. And God showed me in no uncertain way that the devil was using my wife to try to hinder me from preaching. And this has gone on for years. It's a little bit better now. But the devil wants all of this preaching of the gospel and preaching God's word stopped. He wants that stopped. And those, I have no fear of successful contradiction. Those preachers who have been sincere and called by God to serve the Lord, they have experienced similar things in their marriages and family life. This is why Jesus said that your greatest enemies would be they of your own household. Why would the devil take somebody, some stranger, and deal with you? He's going to take somebody you love and that's supposed to love you to hinder you. We're so far removed from true and pure Christianity, we don't like to hear stuff like this. We want our preachers and their families to be perfect and wonderful and dandy, the Brady Bunch, when in reality, oftentimes, there's a whole lot of Adam family relatives up in there. And so, this is what happened, people. Every service, every time we would go soul winning, witnessing, which was every week, she always was being used by the devil to try to hinder it, to not bring things that she should bring, not be a part of, not do what she's supposed to do her part, and other evil and ungodly things that she would do to try to hinder God's work. And that's when God showed me, this is not just flesh and blood, son. Don't focus on that. The devil is behind this. So you just keep on giving yourself to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And that's when God laid on my heart to read this passage every day and as a part of the family verses. So, and it helped a lot to keep me focused on the fact of verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what we read yesterday. Verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And by the way, I've seen this happen with many other pastors and churches. I know of two great men who started churches. They're married just like myself to Jamaican women. And those two women, they did everything they could to tear down those churches. And both of those marriages ended up in divorce. But not only that, I know many other stories where men who were called to preach. The wives were okay with them getting saved, but they were called to preach and really, get into it for the Lord. And I've seen women turn on their husbands. To be quite frank with you, I believe that's what happened to Kanye and Kim. If you notice, they were doing okay up until it's not about any mental issues with Kanye. I'm not saying that he may. I'm not saying he doesn't have any issues. I'm just saying that's not the issue. The issue is that boy got saved. And he basically started preaching the gospel. And that is what is too much for Kim. And that's why she has been looking at divorce, and I hope that she would reconsider, get saved herself. But this is a common thing that happens, and what I get from many women is, now yeah, I'm okay with you being saved now and you acting right with me and all of that, but now don't be talking about you a preacher and all of that, and you're gonna be out here preaching and evangelizing and all. I don't want you to do all that. I want somewhat of what we had before you started doing all this for Jesus. And I've seen many, many men get discouraged by their wives or their girlfriend and it's starting to happen with Bieber and his wife. I'm okay with you being saved and a Christian and everything, but I don't want to be going too far. Let's kind of keep close to Sodom and Gomorrah just a little bit, like Lot's wife. Okay, I know you people don't like it. I can care less. I'm telling you what I know for a fact has happened. And the devil has used. Sometimes you women who would be considered good women to hinder God's preachers from doing what they were called to do. And that's happening wholesale today. We got preachers today who are silent on everything because of pillow talk. And by the way, I just saw a book today in one of the little book magazines, Christian book magazines, and it's precisely what I've been telling you about. The name of the... It's sad, but the name of the book is Everybody Fights. Why not learn how to do it better? That is so stupid. Give me another. I think I got another one over there. And this is sweet evangelical stuff right here now. These people, many of them are many of them are seminary trained, and I don't know what happens to some of these people after going through a seminary at these evangelical seminaries, which I love. I love the Word of God. But anyway, that's the name of the book. I'll share more with you about it in time to come. Everybody Fights. That's the title. Why don't you get better at it? That's the name of the title. That's some of the sick stuff people write in our Christian circles today. First of all, everybody does not fight. That is stupid. If you're Christians and obeying God's word, there's no such thing as fighting in the family. None. Now, if you're doing the Christian marriage thing right, biblically, submissive people don't fight back. They obey. You understand? There's no room for fighting. Are you fighting against God? Probably with your sin. Are you fighting against Jesus? Are you striving against God and Jesus, struggling with them, telling them that you don't want to do something? Are you kidding me? No. And Jesus is our husband according to the scriptures, the church. We are supposed to be totally in submission to him. And when we're not, he has a way of dealing with us. He said, I rebuke and chasten those I love. Okay, God does not play that like that. There's no fighting. God is not going to fight with you. Jesus is not going to fight with you. He's in charge. People who are in charge and they understand their position, they don't fight. They don't fight you. That's punching down. They're over you. The wife has no grounds to fight with the husband, period. See, this is stupid. That's right. I can't think of any other word other than stupid to be talking like that. But that's what people, and they're not the first ones, this couple. I'll tell you the name later. I can't remember them. And they're sitting on the couch. He's looking befuddled and confused like most men today with his hand upside his head. And she's grinning. You know why she's grinning? Because she's winning. That's why she's grinning. She's going to win. She's going to win every fight. And that's how it is in most churches. This is what pastors and pastors' wives have taught. They go up to the pulpit holding hands and grinning, talking about if everybody fights, let's learn how to fight better. They have a whole seminar and a retreat and a lying retreat and everything else. A cruise and everything on how to fight better in the marriage. What kind of foolishness is this? That's why we're so messed up today. And that's why the church is anemic, does not have any strength to fight the enemies of the cross, the homosexuals, the homosexual marriage people, and the homosexual agenda. And by the way, you can like it or lump it. The sweet evangelical church, the sweet Baptist church, and the sweet black and white and red and yellow, and the sweet charismatic church, they have lost the battle to the homosexuals. They have been defeated. Now thank God the remnant and the 7,000 were still standing. But Christianity, Christendom as a whole, they have been soundly whipped. Their butts have been whipped, sad to say. And they're drowning in their sin so much of divorce and remarriage and fighting each other. In the marriage and outside of the marriage, they don't have the energy to fight against the evil that they should be fighting, and getting the gospel to the people as well, of course. And by the way, we just got through reading Joshua. I think it was the 4th chapter. We just got through reading Joshua. And it talks about Ai and Achan. And the chapter is a message to us in the church today. The problem, God stopped Joshua and the Israelites. They were set up by God and by Moses to move on and do great things. And they won one victory, and people, just like we do today, get filled with hubris and pride and arrogancy. And we go and steal something and take something we have no business taking and stealing and participating in. And then God stops the train. He stops the old train, Zion. He stops the soul train to shut it down. See, and this is what people do not understand about God in the church today. God has shut it down. God will shut you down. He is shutting you down right now. Has been doing so for over a year. You can huff and puff and wish things to be a certain way and go ahead on and die of the coronavirus plague if that's what you want to do. But you better humble yourself down, as I told some people yesterday, and adapt to what God is doing, because God is doing this. Because he's not pleased with so-called Christians. And so, because so-called Christians are doing evil in his church, and are doing evil in their lives, and so he's basically shut the church down. You can go in there if you want to. You're going to end up sick and dead. And being sick with this, I think, is worse than death. In fact, this is the kind of sickness that will make you say, let me just go ahead on and die. You understand me? When you can't breathe, you're struggling with breathing, you are a fearful somebody. And you will begin, and it's painful to breathe, like it's, you know, cut glass all up in your chest. People, right now, there are people, listen to me. There are people in hospitals across this country. They're begging, young people, 40 and younger. They did not take the vaccine, but they're begging for the vaccine. Now, you know why? Because they can't breathe, and the nurse and the doctor said, we're going to intubate you, or whatever that word is, which sounds like a very bad thing. Very bad. being put on a ventilator sounds better, but intubate, that sounds like you're getting ready to die. But they have to do it because you're struggling with breathing, and it's painful to breathe. And this is the kind of sickness that will say to you, just go ahead on and die. I'm not kidding with you. This is serious business. So I'm saying to all Christians, and some pastors are going to get mad with me because they want to keep the business going. But that's okay. I'm trying to save your life until another day. Do not go to an in-person church service until you know that this thing is over. Now, I'm telling this because I love you, because God is not playing. Many, many, many Christians, whole churches are sick across this country because of prideful, stubborn, rebellious, foolish to think that they're special in God's sight and God is aiming for them because of the evil that they're doing in His church. So, let me read on so that you can learn how to put on the whole armor of God. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. One of the greatest things you'll ever do for your life, if you are a born-again child of God, is just read the Bible through. It's good to read 3 chapters a day, 5 chapters a day, but if you want to, you can just read 1 chapter a day. And I guarantee you, God will feed you, and God will give you everything you need to fight your battles. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Right in this verse, Paul is repeating basically what Jesus Christ said in the Garden of Gethsemane to the saints there. Watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation, for the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Praying always with all prayer, however you need to pray, however you know how to pray, just pray to God. It does not have to be pretty. It does not have to be like Deacon Stevens down in Mount Shiloh Baptist Church. You don't have to get on one knee and pray for an hour with flowery language. Just pray. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador. That's what you are, if you're a child of God. For which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Put on the whole armor of God, saints. If the Lord tarries His coming and we live, we'll be reading Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 on tomorrow morning, and I'll be live by the grace of God if the Lord says the same, and we'll love to have you. in the standing between the living and the dead service. Let's pray for others in keeping the spirit of the standing between the living and the dead prayer, devotional, and memorial service. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of those who are lost in our families, in our churches, in this country and around the globe. We pray, Lord, for the revival of all people who are Christians in this family, in our families, in the church, in this country, and around the globe. We pray for the healing of the sick, Lord, according to your will and way and conditions. Let your will be done in all of our lives, in all of our families. And Holy Father God, we pray for all of the people who are hurting and who are mourning and grieving today the death of loved ones across the country and around the globe. Draw them to yourself for salvation and comfort. We pray, Holy Father God, prepare all of us for good days and bad days. Prepare us, Lord, for celebrations and tragedies. Prepare us, Lord, for weddings and funerals. Prepare us, Lord, for life and death. And Holy Father God, we pray for all people who name the name of Christ. Help us all to humble ourselves and to pray and to seek your face and to turn from our wicked ways and to repent and to get back to you, our first love. And Holy Father God, we pray, Lord, for all people who are in the ministry of government, from the president on down, Lord, and around the world. We pray for the peace of the greatest city in the world, Jerusalem. And we pray, Holy Father God, for all government officials everywhere. We pray for their salvation. Open their blinded eyes, unstop their deaf ears, fill them with your Holy Spirit, and lead, guide, and direct them to work in the ministry of government in such a way that the people will live peaceful and quiet lives. And let your will be done in all of this. And Lord, we pray now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for all of the families that are suffering today because of the mourning and grieving over loved ones who have died tragically through the coronavirus plague, collapsing of buildings, floods, just last night, England was hit with lightning bolts and all kinds of negativity came out of that. We also pray for the people who are dying from people shooting them in this country. Comfort all of these people who are hurting, all of these families who are hurting. Lord, draw them to yourself for salvation and comfort. We pray, Lord, for some by name. We pray for the millions that we will not name today, but we pray for some by name. We pray for the family and friends of California church member Stephen Harmon. We pray for the family and friends of Arizona mother Fernanda Hernandez Vega. We pray for the family and friends of Texas restaurant owner Yolanda De Leon. We pray for the family and friends of Utah police officer Adam Ashworth. And we pray for the family and friends of California 10-year-old Peerless Turner. And Lord, now we pray for all of the people who have sent in prayer requests down through the years, and hear and answer their prayers, hear and answer our prayers for them. And we pray for a few by name, Lord, and we pray for your salvation, spiritual, family, life, protection, and provision, blessings upon them all, and for these people as well. But we do pray for some specific needs for these few. We pray for Pastor LV, for you to bless their gospel preaching work and service to others. We pray for Audrey in Florida, for her grandson, Rashad, to find a good job so that he can take care of his wife and baby, and for his salvation. We pray for Mag Luria in Africa, for the support she needs, as well as for their prison chaplain. And now, Lord, we pray for all of the people who have gotten saved through the preaching of the gospel, through this ministry. And we pray for those who've gotten saved through other ministries. Help these to grow. We pray for first the thousands who have gotten saved. Help them to grow in the faith and be the strong Christians, Lord, you want them to be. And we pray for a few by name. We pray for Tim, Brad, Shaquan, Brian, and MB. We commit these souls into your hands. Let your will be done in their lives. And we pray also for people who have recommitted their lives. We pray for the thousands who have done that and written in. And we pray for a few by name. Help them all to grow in the faith and to stand strong in the faith. We pray for Dee. We pray for Adele. We pray for Eric. We pray for Kelvin. And we pray for Matt. Let your will be done in their lives and in ours. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, dear friend, if you are with us today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, John 3:16 states, "For God so loved the world," these are the words of Jesus Christ, "God so loved the world," that means that if you are in this world, God loves you, "that he gave his only begotten Son," God gave up his only begotten Son "to suffer and to bleed and to die on the cross for your sins. He shed innocent blood on the cross for your sins, because Jesus Christ never committed a sin in word, in thought, in attitude, or in deed. Yes, you can have a sinful attitude. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son up to suffer and to bleed and to die on the cross for our sins," however, our lies, our stealing, our lusting after people and things, coveting after people and things, what other people have, our disrespect and dishonor and disobedience and having bad attitudes towards our parents, our taking God's name in vain, and so many other sins. These are just five of the Ten Commandments. If we have broke one of them, we have broken the whole law according to the Bible. Jesus died for all of our wickedness and all of our sins. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son," Jesus Christ, he was speaking of himself, "that whosoever believeth in him," the word "whosoever" means anybody at any time. The word "believeth" means to trust in, to have faith in him, Jesus Christ, "should not perish," that is, you will not go to hell, but have everlasting life. So, dear friend, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ today so that you can be saved from the torments of hell. For the Bible teaches that once you die unsaved, if you die without believing in Christ, you will immediately wake up in the torments of hell. If you want to avoid that and wake up in heaven and in the arms of Jesus Christ, if you will, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ down here. For the Bible says in Romans 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou, you shalt be saved. For whosoever, there's that word again, whosoever, anybody at any time, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. It's very simple to be saved, very easy to be saved, contrary to what people will tell you. You don't have to be in a church building to get saved. You don't have to join a church to get saved. You don't have to get baptized to get saved. You don't have to give any money to the church to get saved. You don't have to shake the preacher's hand. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to walk down the aisle. You don't have to do anything to get saved but believe in Jesus Christ and call on his name and pray and ask him to save you. And he will do so, my beloved. If he did it for me, he'll do it for you. So believe in your heart. Only you can do that. That Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. Pray with me the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me phrase by phrase and mean it from your heart. Let's pray. Holy Father God in heaven, I acknowledge that I am a wicked sinner, and I admit that I have broken your Ten Commandments. I have indeed committed some of those sins that were mentioned earlier by the preacher. And Holy Father God, I admit that I deserve to go to hell just like a criminal deserves to go to jail. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my crimes and sins. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul. As I now believe with all of my heart in your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose on the third day. And Lord, I do not understand it all, but I thank you for it all. And I believe it all. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to truly repent of my sins past and to truly repent of my sins present and to turn from my evil life and to follow you, Lord Jesus, in the new life. For it is in your name I do pray. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just believed in the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, the Holy Bible, that I just shared with you, you are now saved from hell and you're on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ Jesus, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my book titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John chapter 10, verse 9, and this is what the book title is based on. I am the door, Jesus Christ said. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Ladies and gentlemen, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.